I want to preach on one word this morning, and I want you to really take it into your heart, confirmation. Confirmation. Yeah, that's what I want to speak about. I may teach more than preach this morning, but this is a word that the Lord spoke into my heart. And of course, I'd always like to do more homework on it than I've got done, but hey, I've read enough about this that I believe God can use me to support His will, His call in your life and mine. Amen. So I'm looking this morning at the book of Judges, the sixth chapter in the book of Judges. We'll take our time this morning because I want this word to, I want you to receive it this morning as God's Holy Spirit will minister it to you. In the book of Judges, the sixth chapter, appreciate Amanda back there on the screen. If you looked at verse, God's called Gideon like he did Moses. We had Moses, and now we got Gideon. Do you remember when God called Moses at the burning bush? And, you know, he saw that bush was on fire. It wasn't consuming. It was just electrified by the presence of God. Actually, it was a Christophany in the Old Testament times. And he saw that bush burning, it was on fire, wasn't consuming. And so he drew near, and he's getting ready to draw near, and the Lord said, take your shoes off, this ground's holy. I believe this morning this sanctuary is holy. Because, as Patrick said earlier, the presence of God is in this service this morning in this house. And he did so. And the call of God came to him to go down and tell Pharaoh, let my people go. And certainly, then he said, I'm going to confirm that like this, I will be with you. I will be with you. And he confirmed again, he said, you will worship in this mountain. 40 days and 40 nights twice, fasting and praying. And then he got down to tell Pharaoh to let God's people go. And I'm sure, you know, from what he had been through, I mean, you know, a lot of times we go through a lot. What he had been through, you know, he left Egypt. He fled Egypt because he knew they had gallows built for him for killing the man that that was attacking the Jewish man. But anyway, he's given him another sign. He said, Moses, what's that you got in your hand? He said, my rod, my staff. It turned into a serpent. This is a real supernatural sign. It turned into a serpent. And he said, reach down, pick it up. He reached down, pick it up by the tail, and it turned back into a staff. That was Pharaoh. That was Pharaoh. He was the serpent. But God showed him that serpent's, my staff, my rod, he come back to me as a rod. He said, put your hand in your side. He did. He pulled out in his leprosy. He said, put it back in. It's like baby's flesh. How many of you know them supernatural signs, I will be with you. You know, I'm thinking here in the book of Gideon. Gideon was called to deliver Israel from the Midianite army. I mean, they was 135,000 Midianite hordes. Plus, they had allies coming in, siding with them. And so God calls Gideon to you may be seated in the Lord's presence. God calls Gideon to fight the Midianite people, army. Gideon is one man. They have 135,000 troops. Plus they have allies. He's one man. And the Lord, he questioned the Lord. He said, Lord, if you're, he said, I'll be with you. He said, if you're really with me, why are we not seeing the miracles that we need to see? I mean, like when you led Israel out of the land of Egypt, man, all the miracles, the 10 plagues you put against it, why are we not seeing this? And he questioned the will of God to go down or to go and fight Midian. He was questioning it. And the Lord answered him like this. He said, I will be with you. I will be with you. And of course, you know, the next sign there was the angel of the Lord appeared and had a feast meal with Gideon. And he put that meal on a rock. Well, before they could eat the meal, pour the broth over it and eat the meal, he put his staff to it, and man, it just exploded in fire at the end of that meal. That was a supernatural sign. And Gideon, you know, being a poor citizen of Manassas, he probably felt really, like I would, really intimidated. And so he's seeking the face of God about this. Man, I'm called to take this challenge. He first gave him what was the 30,000 troops, narrowed it down to 10,000, all the way down to 300 that lapped like a dog. And so he's going to fight Midian. But he's still not satisfied with this call. He's still not settled in just right yet. So in verse number 36 down through about verse number 40, he says, I need a sign. I need a sign. And so he gets him a fleece out, a fleece of wool. And he lays this fleece of wool out. How many of you have ever asked the Lord for a sign? I have asked the Lord myself different times for a sign. This may not be my best sermon, but this is what the Lord put on my heart this morning. He's asked the Lord for a sign. I remember when it was time, he's called me to leave GM. And so I took a 30-day leave of absence twice. Man, I mean, I couldn't get rid of it. Have you ever had anything to come into your heart and you just, it laid there and no matter what you did, you couldn't get rid of it? Man, I just couldn't get rid of it. I mean, couldn't afford it. Church couldn't afford it. So I couldn't get rid of it. And so I'm deer hunting one day. I'm deer hunting back behind Peppertown. And I'm sitting there by myself. Other hunters was in the woods, but I'm sitting there by myself. I said, Lord, if it's really your will that I leave this job, didn't have the money, all odds against me. I said, look, an 8-point buck come my way so I can kill it. To my surprise, here it come right up the drop the ravine and stood right there within really good range for me to shoot it and kill it. And that's what I did. And I left my job that had been in my heart to leave. Now, that sounds really carnal, but I guess that's who we are at times. That's just who I was at the time. I needed the sign. Gideon was a young prophet, a young general, a young captain of an army. This call was fresh. He wasn't really what you would call a mature preacher. He was like a junior or preminous. Anyway, he said, I got to have a sign. He laid this fleece of wool out. He said, Lord, if it's really your will for me to go fight Midian, to take on this challenge, he said, let the fleece of wool be wet, and he said, let the ground be dry. Well, that's exactly what happened. Next morning, he went out and checked on that fleece of wool, and that fleece of wool was soaking wet. I mean, he wrung a bowl full of water out of it. Man, the Lord's with me. The Lord's with me. But I'm still yet not satisfied. I'm still yet not satisfied. I know I'm called, and I know he's showed himself strong different ways, but I'm still not really settled. I'm not content. Lord, please don't be angry with me. I, with all humility, with a humble heart, I need another sign. Now, I know I'm probably the only man ever needed more than one sign. But that's just where I found myself at times. He said, Lord, if it's really your call and your will for me to go fight Midian, what I want you to do is let the ground be wet and the fleece dry. Next morning, the ground was soaking wet and the fleece was dry. Well, that really built his confidence. Some commentaries will speak against the fleece, but I'm not sure the Lord spoke against that fleece because he honored that fleece. How many of you realize there's times a New Testament fleece can really play in our interests? I'd like for Amanda to put up on the screen Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1 through 4. You know, it starts out talking about this so great of salvation, this so great of salvation. Hebrews 2, verse number 1. And therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, verse 3, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, here it is, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard it. It was confirmed. It was spoken, and it was confirmed. How many of you realize that's us? There's times we need to hear the word spoken, and then we need the word confirmed. Notice here, verse 4, God also bearing them witness, both with signs, wonders, and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to the will of God. Now, notice, God bore witness with signs, wonders, and divers of miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost. I'm standing here telling you that God put this on my heart to preach about God confirming his word with signs, miracles, wonders, gifts of the Holy Ghost. How many of you ever asked the Lord to really give you a sign that you could get a hold of? You know what I think about signs? I'm thinking about the gospel. I'm thinking about the gospel. The Lord called, chose 12 apostles of the Lamb, and they went forth preaching, teaching, healing, serving, you know, the people. Man, camp meeting after camp meeting. Can you imagine them going through Israel with Christ? And then he called the 70. These are preachers, teachers. Then, you know, he gave them the Great Commission. Mark 16, he gave them the Great Commission. Matthew 28, to go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized, the same shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And then he said in Mark 16, he said, these signs shall follow them that believe. These sign miracles shall follow them that believe. Listen, they went forth and preached and communicated the gospel, healing the people, seeing miracles. The Lord said, I'm going to confirm your ministry. I'm going to confirm your ministry. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall heal the sick. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. I don't think he's talking about rattlesnakes or cobras. They shall take up serpents. I've handled some pretty deadly situations. They shall be able to drink poison and it not hurt them. Signs, wonders, miracles, gifts of the Holy Ghost, following, confirming the word with signs following. The Lord confirms his word. You know, I'm thinking in Acts chapter 2. Man, I mean, when they received the gift of the Holy Ghost, he confirmed it with an unknown, speaking in other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. And of course, when I think about signs, wonders, and miracles confirming the Word of God in my life and yours, not just in Bible characters, but in my life and yours, I believe there's times that God confirms his word, his will for my life and yours. He wants to confirm, you know, our future. God knows my future. God knows your future. God knows your seat. God knows your place. God knows where you're to be at, where you're to worship at. How many of you know that there's a will of God in marriage, who you're to marry? So I'm talking about God confirming his word with signs and wonders and doing it supernaturally. You know, I'm thinking in the Old Testament times, in 1 Samuel chapter 7, chapter 6, 1 Samuel chapter 6. It was the call of God to take and move the Ark of the Covenant out of the house of Obed-Edom, which God had blessed Obed-Edom when that ark was there. I mean, probably chickens laying 2 or 3 eggs a day, cows calfing twins, doubles, you know, economy was good. But the call of God was to move it on to Israel. And, man, I mean, probably they really needed a confirmation. So they hooked 2 milk cows that had sucking calves on them. And the confirmation was this. Cows just don't leave their calves. But the confirmation was this. When they started toward Israel, they started home, Jerusalem, these milk cows pulling this ark of God, the covenant, they went right on with it in spite of their sucking calves bawling behind back home. That was a supernatural sign. Hey, it's God's will to get the ark back home. I'm talking about God coming to you in a divine way. In a divine way. You know, I'm thinking again in Genesis 24. It's Abraham, Sarah has died. Beautiful Sarah has died. And so Abraham, boy, he feels like life's over for him. He tells his eldest servant, he said, I want you to go out and search for my son Isaac a bride. I mean, it's time for him to get married, start a family. I want you to go out and find him a bride. But he said, come here. He said, get me by the thigh, right under my seat, and take an oath that you won't go to the house, to the Canaanites, to get my son a bride, because they were worldly women. They were godless. They were heathen type. They didn't worship God. They worshiped false idols. And their lifestyle was a negative compared to Abraham and the lifestyle of faith. So he said, what I want you to do, he said, I want you to go to the house of Bethuel, go to my people, and look for my son Isaac, a bride. And that's exactly what he did. He took the journey, it was a long journey. He took servants with him and took 10 camels. And he went to the house of Bethuel. He got there at the well, long trip, maybe a few hundred miles, long trip, went by camel. And so he gets there at the well, and he's there at the well, and he's thirsty. He said, Lord, he said, I'm going to test your will. I'm going to test your will. I'm going to put a fleece out. I can't get this out of my mind. I'm going to put a fleece out. So he did. He said, the one that's to be Isaac's bride, you know, the one that you pick, the one that's to be Isaac's bride, I want her to give me a drink. And then after she gives me a drink, I want her to give my camels a drink. Now, Rebecca is probably around, I'm guessing, you know, this is not our time. This is back in Bible time. I'd say she's probably 15, 16 year old. I'm not sure. I'd have to look it up. But she's a young girl. And so she gives him a drink. Then she says, I'm going to water your camels. I'll give them a drink. 10 camels? They drink, what, about 40 gallons apiece? Probably about 400 gallons, and they didn't have electric pumps back then either. Hey, she drawled that water up out of that well, bucket by bucket by bucket, and she watered them camels. Now, that was confirmation. Ekatsai, that was confirmation. There's people under the sound of my voice this morning that's looking for confirmation. He got his confirmation to the point that Abraham, his master was rich. But I'm talking about confirmation this morning. Confirmation. There is times in altars of prayer, times of fasting, times of prayer, that we need a confirmation on our future, on our family, our ministry, where God's taken us, in our church, in our lifestyle. We need confirmation. How many of you realize we live in some very negative times, peerless times, times that's dangerous and difficult and hard to deal with, and we need that confirmation. You know, I'm thinking about Abraham. I think it's in the 15th chapter. Abraham was told that his seed would be as the stars in the sky and the sands as upon the seashore. Innumerous. As many as like the stars of the sky and the sand that's upon the seashore. Man, you talk about population. Man, it's going to be a population explosion. And so, he asked for a sign. He asked for a sign. This is for the family. He asked for a sign. He said, "Now I got your word. I got your word, man. My seed's going to multiply. We're going to become numerous." And the Lord told him, he said, "You're going down to Egypt. You're going to be in Egypt for 400 years. 400 years." And he said, "You're going to come out of Egypt." I should say with a high hand. And God's going to give you the land of Canaan for a promise. And so he needs a confirmation. I don't care if you're Abraham, the father of the faithful, whether you're Moses, the greatest prophet of the Old Testament times, or whether you're Gideon, or whether you're Wayne, or whether you're Chad, or who you are, there's times we need a confirmation. And that's when God told him to slay the pieces, the animals, the sheep, then there was the birds, and he said, I want you to walk between the pieces, and there was like a smoking flax, a great furnace that burned as he walked through them pieces as a confirmation, yes, you're going down, yes, your seed's going to multiply, and yes, you're going down into Egypt for 400 years, and yes, you're coming out, and yes, there will be a promised land. There'll be a promised land. How many of you realize God still confirms his word? Not just with Moses, when he said, hey, well, take that staff and throw it down. It turned into a serpent. Pick it back up by the tail. It turns back into a staff. I'm giving you victory over Pharaoh. Put your hand in your side. Yeah, put your hand in your side. And pull it out, and it's leprous. Put it back in, it's clean and healthy like baby's flesh. These are signs, supernatural signs. I have experienced supernatural signs to confirm the call of God, the will of God in my life. You know what I think about supernatural signs? You know what I think about? I think about when Joshua was in battle. Joshua was in battle. I think it's about Joshua chapter 10. He was fighting five kings. Man, I mean, these five kings was tough, brutal. They'd take your head off and love doing it. Brutal. Joshua is fighting them. It's rigorous. It's ground warfare, sword to sword. And he can't whoop them. He don't have enough daylight time to whoop them. I'm wanting to beat them, but I don't have enough daylight time. I'm running out of time. How many of you ever felt like, man, I've just run out of time to get done what I need to do. I'm just running out of time. Well, he goes before God and he says, Lord, I need some help. I need a sign. I need some help. He said, Lord, would you just back the sun up 10 degrees? Man, if you want me to take these five kings, if you want me to defeat them, I gotta have some help. Would you just back the sun up 10 degrees? Give me some more daylight time so that I can finish this battle, so I can win this war. Would you just give me a little bit more time? That is exactly what God did. I'm talking about God confirming his word with signs, wonders, miracles, gifts of the Holy Ghost. Yes, God has supernatural ability to confirm his word. No matter if you feel as weak as Gideon, there's times we feel very insignificant. We feel like we're not equipped. We don't have the power. We don't have the money. We don't have the abilities. We don't have the finances. We don't have the talent. And God's Holy Spirit is telling me that's right where we're at. That's right where we're at right now.